I want to talk to you today about something that we all are dealing with. And that's something I always want to bring forth, is something that we all are dealing with. Children's church, kids go this way for children's church. Talk about faithfulness. How can we have faithfulness? What does the word faith mean? In the book of Hebrews, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not seen. What does that mean? What does that look like? That means that we have trust or believe in something that we haven't even seen yet. It has not came about yet, but I'm trusting that it will. I'm having faith that it will. I'm having faith and trusting that everybody in here, when we leave this earth, we will go to heaven. That's the trust that I have. That's the belief I have. That's what I want for everybody in here, not only in here, our family members and loved ones also. That when we leave this earth, that we will be with Jesus. But once again, let's get back to this faith. Because we all have a measure of faith. We got faith in something or someone, don't we? But the faith I'm talking about today is having faith in Jesus. Not faith in the pastor, not faith in the church, not faith in your family members, whatever, but I'm talking about faith in Jesus. We have so many books and CDs and videos and everything about faith, this faith movement. There's a movement called the faith movement. And what it is faith in faith. Faith in what you think that it should be. But I'm talking about faith in Jesus today. Because when we have faith in Jesus, let me tell you something, something happens. Something happens when we have faith in Jesus. But it's a process that we have to go through. We don't instantly have faith in Jesus. But there's a time when the Holy Spirit comes within us and he starts building our faith from glory to glory, to faith to faith. So my prayer is that before we leave out of here today, that our faith will be elevated in Jesus, not in me, but in Jesus. So once again, Hebrews 11, if you turn to Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11 and 1. And it says, now faith. What does now mean? Means present. You know, when I was a kid, and my grandmother, when she would get upset with me or something, she would say, Jeffrey Eugene Smith, come here right now. See, my grandmother was from the South. She didn't say right now. She said, right now. And I knew that I was in trouble, especially when she mentions my whole name. Anybody ever been there? You know, when they mention your whole name, you know you're in trouble. Then she said, come here right now. And so let me tell you something. It ain't, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Or I'll come when I get through doing this here. Talking about right now. Better come right now. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. For by it the elders retained a good report because they had faith. Because they had faith in God. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let me read that again. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, not the Big Bang theory, not you being an amoeba, not you coming from monkeys. No. He spoke the world into existence. And I believe that, and I'm sure all of you do too. But the world is telling us and is teaching our children that is not true. So we need to tell our children the truth. When they go to school and they're talking about this Big Bang Theory or the monkeys or the amoebas, you need to tell your children, no, no, you might have come from a monkey or an amoeba, but we didn't. So he spoke it. And then here we are today. And then it says, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, the righteousness. God testified of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. It says that Cain, that Abel, offered a better gift than Cain. And he says, and by this, God called him righteous. Verse 5, and by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. And that's something that we all need to do, is please God. But truth be known, we don't all please God all the time, do we? We have the times when we don't please God. And we know when that time is. If you're a child of God, when we don't please God, the Holy Spirit lets you know, this is not pleasing to God, what you're doing. It might be pleasing to you, might be pleasing to everybody else, but it's not pleasing to God. And it says, 6, but without faith in God, it is impossible to please God. So let's go back to pleasing God. How many in here want to please God? Everybody raising a hand. Praise the Lord. So in order to please God, we have to have faith. Like I say, not in the pastor, not in the church, not in the elders, but you have faith in God and God's word alone. Because, see, we can falter. We can fail. There's people I know today that has broken fellowship with God and will not come into a church because they had faith in a pastor that failed. Because they had faith in him. So now they don't want to have nothing to do with a church. They don't, their belief in God is like, you know, if that man of God, that person that was standing up there, they did this, what's the use? But once again, we all human flesh. We all fail at one time or another. But the good thing about the blood of Jesus, for God sent his only begotten son, that whosoever, don't care what color you are, how old you are, what gender you are, how rich you are, how cute you might be or not, if you are whosoever, let me tell you something, and God says he will nowise turn nobody away for what color you are, what gender you are, or anything else. Whosoever believeth in him. And so in order for us to believe in him, we have to trust him, don't we? And so that trust turns into faith. You know the things that I do about trusting and all that type of things there. You know that we trust in the Lord. Come here for a minute. Come here. Since you didn't want to go to Sunday school, come here. I saw you looking at your daddy. Come over here. I want you to stand up on here. And this will be the last time you stand up on these chairs. All right, now listen. Do you trust Pastor? Do you love Pastor? Do you have faith in Pastor? You do. So what I want you to do is close your eyes. Put your hand over your eyes. And I want you to just fall back. Now, didn't you say you trust Pastor? Okay. All right. But you saw the... Come here, Dad. No, not you, Dad. Now, do you trust your daddy? You trust your daddy more than you do me, don't you? Yeah, I know that. Close your eyes and put your hand over your eyes. Fall back into your daddy's arms. He kind of hesitated a little bit there, too. All right, now get back up here. Come here, little brother.
Oh,
You go sit down. Come on up here. No, 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 no. I want you to come right here. Now, will you catch your brother? You will? Turn around. Did you see what it said? Listen what it said. Will you catch your brother? Okay. Close your eyes. Put your hand over your eyes. Now fall back in your brother's arm. Huh? Yeah, you were catching him. Yeah. Go sit down now. But those are the example of trust. Now, I know he loves me. I've been knowing him all his life. But he was hesitant to trust me. And why? Because, see, I don't spend the time with him as his father does. He spent time with his father all the time. You understand what I'm saying? So when he spends that time with his father all the time, not just on Sunday, not just on Tuesday and Wednesday, he wakes up with his father. He goes to bed with his father. He spends the day with his father. So he knows his father is capable of catching him. He knows that his father will not let him be hurt and fall. Pastor, maybe. Little brother, no. Even though he loves his little brother. So you calm down. So what I'm saying is, in order for us to have that trust and that faith and that reliance on our Father and Jesus, we have to spend time with him, church. We can't be part-timing. You understand what I'm saying? We can't be dating him. We can't date Jesus. We have to fully surrender him and be married to him, give everything unto him. But it's a process, though. It's a process that we go through, that we build that faith up. The more that we get in God's word, the more that we have communion with him in our prayer closet, the more that we're obedient to his word, is the more that we trust him, the more we rely on him, the more that we can have that faith in him. When he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not seen. You can't see it. But let me tell you something. It's there. It's there. Because he says, all these exceeding and precious promises I give to you will come forth. You might not see it now, but do you believe it? Let me say it over here. You might not see it now, but do you believe it? That what he says is true. That he says, you're more than a conqueror through him who loves you. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That you're the head and not the tail. That you're... that he loves you. Praise the Lord. You know, I tell you, it's just amazing. You know, when we get into the presence of the Lord and that faith just rises up. And when we do that, the enemy will come after us with all type of stuff to bring that thing down. Well, you've been praying and it ain't happened. You're sick and you've been praying and you're not well. You're going through all type of stuff in your relationships, you know, with your kids and your wives and everything. And you've been praying, you know, and ain't nothing happened. You've been praying for a new job and ain't nothing happened. And he brings those things into your mind. And so we start doubting, don't we? Doubting Thomas's and Thomasina's. Yes. And we all doubt, don't we? Come on now. We all have some measure of doubt. Lord, I believe you, but help me in my unbelief. Lord, I believe you, but help me in my unbelief. And we all go through that, don't we? Help me in my unbelief, Lord. So now, let's go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17 and 20. Matthew 17 and 20. When you get this, amen. Need a couple more amens. We need an amen, Jay. All right. We're waiting on you, Jay. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Let me read that again. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Has anybody ever seen a mustard seed? Yeah. I have one upstairs. I was going to bring it down here and pass it around, but I forgot it. But a mustard seed, in that time, it was the smallest seed known to man. Now, in this day, they're smaller. But back then, that was the smallest seed that they had known. And he says, if you just have just that little bit of faith, little bitty faith, just that little faith, because of your unbelief, he says, let me tell you something. If you take that unbelief and take it up a step to just a little bit of faith, he says, with that little faith, you can speak to that mountain. And that mountain will be removed. And you say, well, Pastor, I got mountains of different things going on in my life. I got all kind of stuff that's going on in my life, and I've been speaking to it, and I've been speaking to it, and it ain't gone nowhere. Matter of fact, it's gotten bigger. Oh, so what is that saying to us? Now, once again, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove. Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the things of not seen. Maybe God is not moving that mountain yet because he's trying to get you to raise your faith up a little bit. Well, I do have faith. Do you really? Who do you have faith in and what do you have faith in? And I say this all the time. If you have faith in anything else other than Jesus, that mountain is going to still be there. It's still going to be there. So why is the mountain still there? That's something we need to examine ourselves and see why. Or could it be? He's saying, it's not time to move that mountain yet. Have you ever been in a place where you prayed for something and it didn't happen when you wanted it? But it happened in God's timing? When he says, this is the time for this to happen. Oh, well, I prayed and I applied for this job, and it is a wonderful job, got good benefits, you know what I mean? The salary is really good, and all this here, and I prayed for the job, and you know, I'm asking God to give me the job, and nothing happens yet. And then down the line, something opens up that's better than the one that you prayed for. And it might take a little while. But God says, the reason that I didn't grant that request because of it isn't you had faith, but it was not the calling. It was not the perfect will that I had for you. Because if I had given you your prayer request for this job, you wouldn't be open to receive this one, which is much better. If I had gave you that man, that boyfriend that you had been praying for, that girlfriend that you have been praying for, you wouldn't be open to receive Tim Harp. Lita. Yes, you would have missed Tim. Oh, with his handsome self. Mary, you'd have missed Dennis with his self. If you had went with Bobby, he don't know about Bobby, does he? Praise the Lord. Anyway, God brought Dennis to Mary. God brought Tim to lead her. Amen. Praise the Lord. God brought Grace to Brother John. Praise the Lord. Brother John was praying and praying. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Now, all of a sudden, he saw Grace. He says, oh, Lord, now. How many years y'all been married now? 26 years. Praise the Lord. Amen. 26 years. 26 happily blessed for years. Praise the Lord. You know, marriage is hard, isn't it? Marriage is hard. You know, the Bible said it's going to be hard. You know, it's something that you have to work on. Something that you have to be committed to. You know, I mean, a true commitment to stay in a marriage, especially if you're married to Dennis. I'm just picking on Dennis. He's been here 2 weeks in a row. One more week, you get a cookie. Praise the Lord, Chef Yum Yum. Anyway, here we go. Where am I at? Matthew, okay. And it says, and then verse 20, it says, howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. How about this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting? I don't know how many of you fast. And, you know, I know a lot of churches and a lot of people, they will call a fast for the congregation or something. But we don't do that here for the church to fast. You fast when the Holy Ghost tell you to fast. Because a lot of people will feel obligated to do something that they don't want to do. You hear what I'm saying? A lot of people will feel obligated to do something that you don't want to do, but you do it because the pastor or the church or whoever tells you to do it. So the ramification of it or the power of it is I'm hungry. When you don't want to do something and somebody else makes you do it, that's not of God. If the Holy Spirit tells you to fast, you will know it and you will fast. And you don't tell nobody. I can't tell you how many years throughout the years. Oh, you know, I'm fasting. You know, look all. Let the Holy Spirit tell you to fast and be obedient with that. And nobody has to know it or needs to know it. I don't know how I got on that, but anyway. So now, we talked about little faith. Okay? Now let's go to Luke 8. Let's go to Luke 8. Luke 8 and 48. Luke 8 and 48. When did you get to say amen? And we all know the account of this here. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. She suffered for 12 years with an issue of blood. Said she went to all the different physicians and she spent all of her money trying to get healed. And it said it got worse. But when she heard about Jesus that was coming in town, she said, oh, if only I could just touch the hem of his garment. The evidence of things hoped for but not seen. I'm hoping that all I need to do is touch the hem of his garment. And not only do I hope, I got faith that when I touch his hem, I'm going to receive my healing. You see, did you hear what I said? 12 years she'd been going through this. Long time. And she had gotten worse. But when she heard about Jesus, how did she know and have trust and faith that for her to say, if only I could touch the hem of his garment? Let me tell you why. It's because as Jesus went around in the past, healing people, raising up the dead, speaking to those demons. She heard about this man named Jesus who was doing all of this. Where'd she hear it from? From the church, from the people. See, she didn't see it on TV. She didn't Google it. But it was people who were giving their testimony. Girl, let me tell you what happened. There was blind Bartimaeus over there. You know blind Bartimaeus. Yeah, he's been blind from birth. Oh, look at him now. He can see. Oh, look at Legion. The man called Legion, he had all these demons in him. But look at him now. He's worshiping and praising the Lord, and he's holding home meetings and Bible studies. Oh, and on and on and on and on. Well, what I'm hearing is that he's doing this for all these people. So guess what? I'm going to have faith that he'll do it for me too. Do you hear what I say, church? Because God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he'll do for you too. If you're in your right position of having faith in him and not the pastor, not the church, not Dr. Phil, not Oprah, but in God and God alone, when we have faith in him, he says, whatever you do, if you believe, there's nothing impossible for those who believe in God. Nothing. Nothing. There's a man sitting in here today. I went to see him at the hospital, and he had a short time, they had said. And he prayed and I prayed and he prayed and I prayed. And he's sitting up in the balcony right now. Brother Brad, when I walked in here and saw you today, I said, praise the Lord. Look how good God is. Because you know the last time I saw you, don't you? Yeah, wasn't good. But look at you now. Your face is full. You got good color on you. You know, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I can look around the room and see others that the doctor said one thing, Sister Shippy, but God said another. Amen. Praise the Lord. And one day, she ain't gonna do it today, but next week probably, I told her, when God heals you, I want you to come here and get the microphone and do a testimony. And she's here today. Amen. Y'all have no idea how far she was or how close she had come to death's door. But whose report are you going to believe, church? As I look around, I see, you know, how God is blessing us. Joey used to ride around on a cart, bopping his head, had his headphones on. It wasn't that old rugged cross, you know. But look at Joey now. He got that scooter downstairs. He ain't rode that scooter in how long, Joey? 8 months? 8 months. On the worship team with his mama. Praising the Lord. Tell me God ain't real. God ain't good. And I know some of the other ones are here today that I might not know about your testimony, but somebody needs to hear it, church. You know, we all want to sit and be quiet. No. God has covered you and healed you and provided for you and delivered you because somebody else needs to hear that. We can't keep and be silent. Because people need to understand that there's a God and he's a real and a true God and he loves you. And he wants the best for you, not good, but the best for you. Good is the enemy of best. Don't settle for good. Always go for the best because God has the best for you. Look at you. You know, I remember And who's here with you? Where's your daddy at? He's sick today. Oh, he didn't come today. He ain't gonna get no cookie. No. He got pie. But her daddy's here. He's been coming now for how long? A couple months now. But he's not feeling well today. You see, a lot of you have no idea what's going on with a lot of the people here today. I do. You know, somewhat, but I don't know everybody's testimony. But everybody has a testimony. And we're going to do another testimony Sunday. I wasn't planning that, but it just came to me. Because people need to hear it. My sister in the back. Yeah? Barney Google's wife. His name ain't Barney Google, but that's what we call it. That's what we call it. The testimony that she has. Woo! And she gave the testimony here a while ago. And how powerful that testimony was. And you're going to do it again when we do our testimony Sundays. And so many others. The testimony that God has blessed you with. You know, Elder Paul back there. Mighty testimony. Mighty testimony. Sister Barb, mighty testimony. Sister Jody, mighty testimony. And I can go on and on and on and on and on. You know, the testimonies of what God has done, you know, in our lives. Praise the Lord. Elder House up there, the testimony that he has. Yes, Sister Wendy, the testimony that she has, and on and on and on. So we need to testify about the goodness of God, church. Becky sitting up there. Miracle, miracle of God, miracle. Praise the Lord. I wish I could speak what do you teach? You teach something. I wish I could speak that, but anyway, I don't have the gift of tongues yet. You know, and I've been praying for the gift of tongues for years, that when I go to Tanzania, I can speak, you know, the language over there without an interpreter. When I go to Haiti, I can speak Creole without an interpreter. You know, if I go to wherever, you know what I mean, where I don't know the language, I don't have the tongue to speak in that tongue. I've been praying for that for years. Maybe God will give it to me one day, but hasn't given it to me yet. But praise the Lord. Let me get to moving here. Okay. Now, once again, it says, the woman with the issue of blood, when she came and saw Jesus, she says, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. And she was unclean. She was not permitted in society. She couldn't come to church because she was considered unclean. But you know what? She didn't care about none of that, about what nobody thought about her or the rules or anything else. Because now faith, she said today, now that Jesus is here, I'm a get with him by hook or crook. Anybody know about hook or crook? You're going to do it by any means necessary. I'm going to get to him because he's my only hope. I done spent all my money to the doctors. I done everything that I could do. And it's gotten worse. So guess what? This man named Jesus. Matter of fact, she says, is my last chance. Let me tell you something. He was her first chance, but just didn't know it. How many of us has gone through around the circle trying to get help, trying to do this and doing this and going here and going there and going there. And we finally were, well, you know, might as well go to Jesus now. And Jesus is standing back. If he had come to me first, you wouldn't have had to go through all that. But thankfully that you did come to me. And you know what happened. She crawled on the ground through people's legs. And she touched the hem of his garment. Now, remember what she said. If only I could touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She said it to herself, but she was not healed until she activated that faith. Did you hear what I said? She spoke it, but it wasn't until she activated that she moved forward and had faith in doing that. Didn't care what people were saying. Fear was gone. Everything else was gone. She said, if only I could touch the hem of his garment. And let me tell you what happened. And so when he touched his garment, it said her issue of blood was dried up. And Jesus said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith, your faith, has made thee whole. Go in peace. Ooh, he says, the peace that I give you is not of the world. The peace is a passer. Can you imagine when she got up from there and knew that she was healed after 12 years? Can you imagine the peace that she had? The joy that she had? Can you imagine after 12 years that now she can go be with her family? She can come to church? She can fellowship with everybody? She can get back into it? Can you imagine the peace that she had? And listen to what he said. He says, daughter, be of good comfort. Not just comfort, but be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Oh, let me tell you something. Some of us need to touch the hem of his garment and believe when we touch it. And believe when we touch it, that when we touch it, it's going to be so what we spoke. But once again, that's having faith in that. I can't see it now. It don't add up. I've been going round and round and round and round about it. I've been told it's never going to happen. I'm never going to be healed. It's never going to be delivered. I'm never going to be do this. Never going to be happy. But only if I believe in my faith. But once again, having faith in God and not in man and not even yourself. This faith movement that's going around today is from the pits of hell. And people are getting caught up in it. Name it and claim it. Positive thinking. You can think positive all day long if you want to. This seed time and harvest. Send me a seed of $1,000 and guess what? In 90 days, you're going to get a 100-fold. And you're sitting waiting and waiting and waiting. And they evicting you out of your house, taking the furniture out while you're sitting on the chair, repossessing your car. But you waiting and waiting and waiting. Don't fall for that, church. Don't fall for that mess. And there's so much of it out there. And it's a deception. It sounds good, don't it? Or you have those. Where is it at? Not getting it. If you send me $50, I'm going to send you this. And you can take this. It looks like hand cleaning, but it's not. This here is holy hand cleaner. You take this and you squeeze it in your hand and you rub it and you say what I tell you to say, and the next thing you stick your hand in your pocket, you're gonna have all kind of money. Just $50. But wait, if you do it within the next 10 minutes, we're gonna send you two of them. Just pay extra shipping for this one. And you have to. Huh? Who's going to sign up? Get the baskets. Get the baskets and go around. People fall for that every day, all day long. Do you know that? And that's because they have a need. And these false prophets, they feed upon that. That's like, send me $50. And squirt this on your head and your hair will grow. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all done spent some money. You know you have. The hair grow thing. You know? That's because you know you want to have some more hair. Praise the Lord. But you know, we have a man in here. He'll get you a toupee. How much are your toupees, Don? He's shaking his head. You know, he used to be one of the top hairstylists in the area here. Do y'all know that? Don Foote was one of the top hairstylists in this whole area here. I'm trying to help you out, brother. No, but he was. And my sister used to work for him. My sister used to work. He gave my sister a job when nobody else would. You know, because my sister was tall. But Don allowed my sister to come into his shop. You know, and my family is always so indebted to you, man. My mama loves you. And I know it. But she talks about you. You know, Don Foote, I said, Mom, that's enough about Don Foote. But you know, Don Foote back, I said, that's enough about Don Foote, Mom. But anyway, I love me some Don Foote. Don Foote's a good man, you know, sometime. But praise the Lord. Anyway, let me get to moving. But so anyway, so this here is a thing about great faith. You see, she had great faith. She believed that this man named Jesus would heal her. Do we believe that, church? Do we believe whatsoever we ask in his name, according to his will? See, a lot of times I've asked things from God, but it wasn't according to his will. And I didn't realize that at the time. It was my will or somebody else's will. But it's according to his will. That's having faith in him. Lord, whatsoever, Lord, you have for me, that's what I want. I only want what you want for me, Lord. That's having great faith, whether we want it or not. Lord, whatsoever you want for me, Lord, that's what I want. And when we come to that and we reel with that, let me tell you, he'll open up the windows of heaven and bless your socks off. So now let's go to the main subject that I want to speak about today, Luke 7. Let's go to Luke 7. By Dennis. let me say something about him. A couple of weeks ago, I saw him get up and do the same thing. I said, I done offended somebody else. I done ran somebody else out of here. And I didn't see him last week because I wanted to talk to him. So I'm seeing him this week. I said, man, did I say something to you that offended you? He said, no. He said, my granddaughter had something I had to do. And then last week, I had to do something else. And he said, and the day passed, if you see me get up, it's about my granddaughter. I got to go see my granddaughter. You know, because, you know, when you're preaching and talking to somebody, get up and leave. It's like, what happened? Why? But we never know why. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, 7. Now, when he had ended all the sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Do you know what he had been saying? I'm glad you asked me. Let me tell you what he'd been saying. He says, in verse 46 of chapter 6. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man that built a house and digged a deep land, laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat me upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, upon sand, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So he was saying, this is what I'm telling you, if you believe in me and you obey me and you do what I lead you to do, you're building your foundation upon the rock of Jesus. And when the storms of life come, When all of the temptations of life comes, when all of the trials and tribulations come, you're going to stand. You're going to stand. Because you laid your foundation on me. You put your faith and your trust in me. How many times have we had the storms and the trials and the tribulations and things come? And we stand upon Jesus. And after a while, those things pass us. And we can raise our hand and say, thank you, Jesus, because you're the one that had me to stand and get through this. If it wasn't for you, Lord, I wouldn't be able to make it. If it wasn't for you, Lord, I'd be done, went out and done something to myself. Wasn't for you, Lord, I'd have went back to drinking. Wasn't for you, Lord, I went back to doing drugs. But because of you, Lord, I'm standing upon the rock of Jesus. And I don't care what comes after me. I don't care what type of storms and trials and tribulations come. I know that I'm rooted and grounded on you, Jesus. So, Lord, when they come, rejoice and again rejoice. Because if you let these things come upon me, you have a reason and a purpose for it. But I know you're going to let me stand through this, here, Lord. So it says, that's what he was saying. That's what he was saying. And when he had ended his saying in the audience of the people, he entered to Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant. A centurion was an officer in the Roman army. He had 100 men up under him. He was had authority and position over 100 men. He was of the Roman army, which was an enemy of the people of Israel. They were oppressed the nation of Israel for years and years and years. So here this man come, and he had a position, a certain centurion. Notice it said a certain one, not just any. Not just any, that certain one. Remember that word certain. Who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. So there's somebody that this centurion, an enemy of Israel, an officer, somebody who was close to him was sick and about ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, when he heard of Jesus, now remember, he's a Gentile. He's a Roman. He's an enemy against God's people. But he was a certain one, not just any. Remember that word certain, not just any kind. He was a certain one. And it says, and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews. What? He sent him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Well, wait a minute. How is this enemy of the people of Israel got nerve enough to ask Israel's God to come and heal his servant? I'm glad you asked that. For he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. He loves the Jewish nation, the people who God loves, God's chosen people, even though he's a Gentile, even though he's representing Rome, the enemy of God. He loves God's people. You know what I'm saying? He loves God's people. And it says, not only that, he built us a church with his own money. He built us a church so we can go to church and we can worship our God, even though he was an enemy. So what made him do all of that? What made him come to the place where he loved the people of God and that he built them a church? What made him do that? I'm glad you asked me. Could it be he saw the people of God acting like the children of God? Could it be that he saw the people say who they were and act like who they said that they were? Could it be? Don't say it. But what would make this man an enemy of God's people to do these things, to love the children of Israel, and to help them to go and worship the God? Something happened to him. Well, he says, I see these people who are real. They're not saying one thing and doing another. What they're saying, they're living it. Because I see the evidence of what they are. They're good people. They're honest people. They're committed people. They love the people. They love God. And so listen. Then Jesus sent with them. Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far away from the house. Let's stop there. He told the elders, the Jewish elders, to go. Ask Jesus, your Messiah, to come. Because there's somebody that I care for that's sick. Not me. Somebody that I care for that's sick. And I know because of you, godly, God-fearing, committed people of God, I've heard, and he might have even seen, healings, deliverances, witnesses. When they gave their testimony Sundays in the synagogue that he built for them. And so he says, you know what? Even though I'm an enemy, even though I'm representing Rome, I believe, I have faith that this man named Jesus can come and heal the one that I'm concerned about. His faith. He was a Gentile, but he had faith. And it says, and Jesus went with them. And then when he was now far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shalt enter into my room. I know who you are, Jesus, and I know who I am. I'm not worthy. So guess what? I'm humbling myself. Humility. That's what God is looking for, church, is humility. To truly know who God is and his power and authority, and to truly know who we are. We have to bow down and get low and be. And so listen to what he said. He says, you know, I'm not worthy for you to even come into my house. But wait a minute, well, what about the person that's going to be healed, that he needs to be healed? If you don't come, Jesus, and if you don't come and lay hands on him and pour all out on him and hoop and holler, he won't be healed. He said, no. I don't need you to do all of that. I don't need you to have all that show. I don't need you to have all of that stuff there. He says, all I need you to do is speak a word. You don't have to come. He said, because the faith that I have in you, the power and authority that you have, all you need to do is just speak a word. Where did he come from that? Why did he come from that? I'm glad you asked. I'm almost done with you. Gary? And so anyway, it says, wherefore, neither thou, I myself, worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, my servant shall be healed. Wherefore, neither thou, I myself, worthy to come unto thee. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house, and I'm not worthy to come unto you. But all I need you to do is speak a word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not seeing. He's hoping that Jesus is going to heal this one. It was a servant. That's who it was. It was a servant. Now faith. Jesus, you don't have to come here. You don't have to lay hands. You don't have to make no show. You don't have to entertain. All you got to do is speak it. And I know that my servant will be healed. Great faith. Listen to what he says. And it says, I am a man, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he cometh. And my servant, do this, and he doeth that. He says, I know what it's like to have authority. Because I have 100 men under me. And when I tell one of them to come here, they come. When I tell one of them to go, they go. Because they're obedient to me. They know that I have the power and authority. And he says, listen to this. This is the real good part. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled. Now, I'm not a theologian or a scholar. But I think there's only two places that I've ever found where it said Jesus marveled. This is the Son of God now. This is God. It said he marveled at him. And turn him about and said unto the people that follow him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, no, not with my own people. My own people, the people who I've chosen. I have not found such great faith even in them. And you are Gentile. You are an enemy of my people. But because of you having faith in me, I've never found that. And listen to what he said. And they that were sent, and they that sent returning to the house found a servant whole that has been sick. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, and the evidence is not seen. So when the centurion got back home, no, he wasn't even gone because he sent the elders. But he went to the servant's room, and he's up serving. He's completely healed because of this man having faith in Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have to raise our level of faith, church, for the unborn babies, for the people in the Ukraine, for the drug addicts on the street, for the homeless people, for the alcoholics, for those who are living an abominational lifestyle. We have to raise our level of faith, church. Because my Bible is telling me that all of these people who had all of this faith, Jesus responded to them. And he's responded in our group. I went around and I said, but we want better, more faith. We want more people healed. We want more people saved. We want more people delivered. We want more babies to live. And it says, and they that sent returning to the house found the servant whole that has been sick. Let me tell you something, church. We need to elevate our faith. And you're probably saying, well, Pastor, I want to elevate my faith, but how do I do that? I'm glad you asked me. We have to trust in him completely. We have to believe in him completely. We have to be faithful to him completely. We have to be committed to him completely. If you love me, you will keep my word. Isn't that what he said? If you love me, he says, if you're wise, you'll be like this man who built the foundation on me. And not even the devil himself can have an effect on you. Yes, he'll try, but we're going to stand. And again, we're going to stand when we keep our eyes and our faith in Jesus Christ, church. I'm going to tell you something. This is real. This is not a story. I hate when people say, let me tell you a story out of the Bible. You know, Peter Pan is a story. Pinocchio is a story. Buckaroo is a story. But these are real accounts. These things in here, everything that happened in here is real. These are real things that happened in the Bible. But do we believe that? Do we believe that a big old fish swallowed up a man. Ah, that's kind of hard to believe, Pastor. I don't know if I believe that. Do we believe that a whole city wall came down by the people blowing shofars? It happened. I've been there. I've been to the walls of Jericho. I've seen the things over there that this Bible said that was true. It is true. But once again, church, it's a process in believing these things. It's a process in believing and knowing them. But we have to be open and ready to start glory to glory, faith to faith. Faith always comes before sight. Do you know that? Faith always comes before sight. If we see it, and as we ask for it and we see it and it's tangible, that's not faith. I can say, I see him, and I believe that I can walk up here and shake his hand. That's not faith. I saw him, and I walked up here and he shook my hand. That's not faith. But when I say that God is going to deliver you, that God is going to heal you, that God is going to provide for you, oh, and I can't see it yet, but then I hear in a week or two, Pastor, I'm coming to church tomorrow. I'm going to be at church tomorrow. Oh, and here she sits. There he sits in the balcony. And I can look around and see the glory of God. The man of God sitting over there, he don't know it yet. He's looking down his Bible. Hold your head up. Tap him. You don't know it yet, but you're going to be preaching up here one day. You don't know it yet, but one day you're going to be up here preaching. And if not here, somebody, somewhere. Yes, God's hand is on you, young man. He has a purpose and a plan. He has given you a shepherd's heart. You don't know it yet. That's why you're going through everything that you're going through, young man. That's why the enemy is at you the way he is, but he's a liar. He can't have you. You belong to God. And you're going to serve him. Absolutely you are. Yes. I'm speaking those things that are not as though they are. You see. And I'm believing that. I'm knowing that. That one day he's going to be proclaiming the word of God and be instrumental in bringing many to the kingdom of God. One day. And I can see some of you also going through it. Pastor Lindstrom, the young man sitting next to you, he don't know it yet either. But young man, you're going to be preaching the gospel one day, just like your daddy. Yes. I know you probably think you're going to be a fireman or a policeman or cowboy or something. No. But you're going to preach the gospel, young man. The Lord showed me something about you here the other night. Just as clear. You're going to be preaching the gospel, young man. Yes. Once again, you're going to be powerful in that. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. He knew Jesus had extreme and supreme authority. He knew Jesus had extreme and supreme authority. He had authority over 100 men. But he knew Jesus had the extreme and supreme authority over everything. There's nothing impossible for those who believe. He believed God. The woman with the issue of blood, she believed God. Abraham, he believed God. While he was still in an idolatry lifestyle, when he was living with his mom and his daddy, there was an idolatry nation. God told him to come out from amongst them and leave them behind. He believed God, and he was counted righteous because he had faith. You'll be a father of many nations. didn't have no kids. Your wife is going to have a baby. She 90, he 100. She laughed. The promised child that he had, he said, now I want you to take him and sacrifice him and kill him. Oh, what? But he believed God. And when he got up there, his son says, Dad, we got everything we need except the sacrifice. And his father said, now is the evidence of faith to speak those things and not as though they are. God will give us a ram. God will give us a sacrifice. All I know right now is what he told me to do, go up here and sacrifice you. But my faith is he's going to give us a sacrifice. And as he had the knife up and was about ready to obey God to kill his son that he loved more than anything else, Abraham, Abraham, lay not your hand upon him. All of a sudden he heard something, bah, 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 or something like that. And there was a ram stuck in the bush. What he had spoken before he even seen the ram or known anything about the ram, because of his faith. Now faces the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now he saw the evidence of the faith that he had back here. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? There's nothing impossible for those who believe God. So what is it to do to us to believe God? Once again, to trust in him. To have faith in him. To rely on him. To be all in. To be surrendered to him. Not to date him, but to be married to him, to be all in. When we do that, church, let me tell you something. Whew. But once again, we are a body. We are one body. We're all members of a many-member body, every one of us. And you know that old saying, you're as strong as the weakest link. If we all come to a place where our faith, where every one of us, where our faith is where God wants it, not what I want, not what you want, not what the books say. But if we come to a place where our faith is where God wants it, woo, we could turn this world upside down. Just with the people in this room here. If we all come to a measure of faith, if we all come to be in one accord and stop this nonsense that's going on in the body of Christ. If we come to that, church, it'd be like in Acts 2. Whew. We'll have another Acts 2. But we're not there, church, not yet. But the key is, do you want to be? Or do you want to keep on going the way that you're going and doing what you're doing? That's you. For me, let me tell you something. I want everything God has for me. I don't want him to leave nothing out. But you know what? I have to keep examining myself to see the things that's in me that is not of God. You hear what I'm saying? I got to be honest with that. I got to be real with that. I got to make sure that the things in me is in that right position with God. Not the church, not the government, not these books and movies and all that kind of stuff, but what the word of God says, but what I need to do to be in right standing with God, to have the righteousness with God. That's what I need to do. I don't know about you. Maybe you're already there. I'm not. Just being honest. I'm not. I'm pushing forward every day. I'm pushing forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus every day. And this, let me tell you something, it's a struggle. But you know what? It's a struggle that we can overcome because he's an overcomer and he's overcome the world. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. But we forget a lot of times that Jesus has already conquered that. He's already paid the price for our healing, for our deliverance. For our provision. He's already done all of that. We just need to get ourselves in the position, in the right standing with God. Let me tell you something. And when we do that, let me tell you something. We are forced to be reckoned with. He says, the gates of hell should not prevail against my church. Not my church. It's God's church. And you know who the church is? All of us. Listen to what he said again. The gates of hell should not prevail against his church. And we are his church. But he will not force you to get in right standing with him. He won't force you to do it. You have to have a desire. You know the song that we sing, "This is my desire, to worship you with all my heart, with everything"? Do we have a desire to do that? Or don't we? That's the key you need to examine and see and ask yourself. Well, I have a desire when I come to church. I get stirred up. I have a desire when I'm in have a need, because I need something. I have a desire when I hear a good word or listen to a good song. No, it has to be every day, all day long, church. So once again, I don't know where you are in your life, in your walk with God. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Because if you haven't, let me tell you something. All of this stuff that I was talking about for you is on the outside. Because you're on the outside. I was on the outside. Everybody in here was on the outside at one time. But Jesus, in his love, compassion, mercy, he said, I'm going to bring you out of darkness and bring you to my marvelous light. But we have to be open and obedient to that calling. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are on the broad road, thinking they're on their way to heaven, but it leads to destruction. Many are on the broad road. Let you not be numbered amongst the many. I know this is God because they got this big old church and they're doing all of this type of stuff and they got thousands of people and this, that, and that. No. Just because you got a big church and thousands of people does not mean that God is in that. Period. We got so much entertainment going on in the church. We got so much manipulation that's going on in the church. We got so much deception that's going on in the church. My prayer is that that don't happen here. That you hear the truth. Because my Bible said, the truth will set you free. That's what my Bible says. So once again, I don't know where you are this morning, but you do. And God does. But if you want to come from the outside to come into the kingdom of God, all you have to do is say, yea and amen. Lord, I surrender. Because his presence is here this morning. I don't know if y'all can sense it, but I can. I can sense his presence here this morning. And he's wanting to bring somebody out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's wanting to bring somebody into the kingdom of God that you will know that you know that you know that when you stand before him, you will hear one good thing. Well done, my good and faithful servant. No, you're not perfect. No, you didn't do everything right. But you were real with me. You were real with me. And when you get real with me, I'll get real with you. So if you're here this morning, and you know that you know that you know, I'm going to ask you, stand up and come. Just stand up and come. If you know that you know that you know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Not pastor. Not for me to influence you to do anything. Because if I influence you to do something, somebody else can influence you not to do it. But if the Holy Spirit get a hold of you, let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit gets inside of you and get within you, no devil in hell can take it away from you. So if you're sitting here this morning and you know that the Holy Spirit is calling you and telling you, I need to get real today. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, church. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, to church, and be open to listen to Him today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And once again, if you're sitting there and you know that you know that you know, you say, well, Pastor, you know what? I've been up there before. But is the Holy Spirit calling you today? Maybe He wants to put something more inside of you or take something out of you that needs to be out of you. Maybe He's saying, you know what? Yes, you came forth before and you prayed that prayer, but nothing has changed. When you come to Christ, let me tell you something, you can't help but change. You can't help it if it's real. If it's real, your life will change. Praise the Lord. Yeah, just sit right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, she said, I will. Amen. So, as we go before the throne of grace today, and you're sitting there and you know that you know that you know you should be up here. Because there's others that need to be up here and you know you are. You know, I can't see, you know what I mean, what's going on in your life or whatever, but you know. And you know that I need to be up there, but I'm ashamed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't want anybody to know. Don't give a hoot about us. It's between you and God. Because when you stand before Him, we're not going to be standing around cheering. Tomorrow they went to Bible study. They came to church. They paid the tithes. No, no, no. You're going to stand before Jesus by yourself. He's going to say, I've given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And you continue to deny me and deny me and deny me. You don't want to get to that position. Trust me. You don't want to get to that position to stand before Him and say, oh, I hope He lets me in. You can come and know that you know that you know. Have that confidence and that boldness to know. I'm not perfect, but I'm real. And I've surrendered my life to you, Jesus. Take me, make me, shake me to what you want me to be. For those of you who are up here today, now, I believe everybody here just wants to live a life of righteousness and holiness, right? That you want to be pleasing unto the Lord. That you want things that might be that you're dealing with and the things that you're going through, that you want God to take them things out of you and put in you everything that He wants in you. So you can live a life of righteousness and holiness and obedience and commitment to be in fellowship with Him. To be in fellowship with Him. Amen. And God will honor that. God will honor. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And for those of you who are sitting here this morning and you know that you should be up here, but you, for whatever reason, you can't, I'm going to pray two prayers. The first one is a surrendering prayer unto Jesus. And the second one is to fill me, Lord, with everything that that needs me to be filled with. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. My life have not been lived the way you want me to live. This day, I confess that I am a sinner, and I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins. This day, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, shed his blood for my sins. He rose again on that third day that he's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. From this day forward, I accept this free gift of salvation by faith. This day forward, I surrender my life to you. This day forward, Lord, I will be committed to be in fellowship with you, Lord. Everything in me, you put it in me. So this day, Lord, I accept this free gift of salvation by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. The second prayer is, Lord, I come today. You know what I have need of. You know more than I do what I need. So, Lord, I'm asking you today, everything that's not of you, take it out of me by any means necessary. Everything that I'm void of, put it in me by any means necessary. From this day forward, I only want what you want for me, Lord. So, Lord, this day, I fully surrender and ask you to fill me with what you want me to be filled with. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.